We'll jump to verse 21. We'll read through 28. 4. Jeremiah 27 and 28. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord to me, Make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Amorites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah the king of Judah, and command them to say unto their masters, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say unto your masters, I, Yahweh, have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemeth meet or fit unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, Ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, Ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Jump to 21. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem. They shall be carried to Babylon, and there they shall be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the fourth month and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Asher, the prophet, was of Gibeon, spake unto the house of the Lord, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon, yoke breaker. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Yoke breaker. Father, help us as we seek to appropriate this chapter. This would not be a good chapter of the Word of God to just flip open your Bible and start reading and think we have a sense of it, because a good portion of the words that we've read are false. We don't believe that any word of God is false. But here we have the record that is true of a false prophet. And so we need to be careful as we study today that we carefully distinguish between the things that you said, reported through your prophet Jeremiah, and the things that were said, that you did not say, as reported by the prophet Hananiah. Give us insight and wisdom today for the benefit of our souls, and for that we will praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Every godly parent struggles with conflicting voices in the life of their children. The scripture says that God made the world. The Discovery program that you approved to be watched by your own children just told them that Earth is a result of millions, if not billions, of evolutionary years. Conflicting voices. Teens are rightly taught that sex outside of marriage is sinful, and yet many people in authority, including some of their own teachers, flaunt illicit sexual relations outside of marriage. That said, particularly damaging in the conflict of voices in the life of a child is where a mother says one thing and a dad says another. Parents ought to work to be on the same page, and sinful children ought not to be allowed to pit mother against father and father against mother. But you need no further convincing of the conflicting voices that are a real problem while living in this old world. What is true of children and parents is true of God's children and preachers. No one ever suffered more over this conflict than did our buddy Yirmiyahu. The storyline is incessantly familiar. Jeremiah speaks and advises one thing after hearing from the Lord, only to be confronted by the popular messengers and messages to the contrary. Worst of all, those false messengers are better speakers. They got better equipment. They have a stronger following. In fact, the false messengers are thought to be God's true prophets, and on a plane equal to, if not superior to, Jeremiah. Poor guy. He knows the truth, but there's not a large flocking to the truth in Jeremiah's day. Both the general pattern of this conflict and the specific example is found, of course, in our text. The four movements of the passage can be summarized by making a number of kind of like out there statements that you then need to desperately clarify and bring to them some further explanation. So as we digest the two chapters and work within it, giving you just a snippet by way of the reading that we've done so far, let me just throw out these phrases and then we'll explain them. The first phrase that I want to throw out there and quickly explain is this phrase: they didn't, and it did. They didn't, and it did. The people of God didn't listen to the truthful prophet even after the disaster began. And the judgment of God did follow just exactly as God said it would. They didn't listen, and judgment did follow. They didn't listen, and judgment did follow. The children of God were hearing conflicting messages among the prophets. Jeremiah should have had greater sway and influence because of his proven record of faithfulness, but he did not. People preferred the voices of those that were tickling their itching ears. The word from the Lord to Jeremiah 27:1 and following warns the area nations of God's determination to give power and sway to Babylon. They are all advised to cooperate, and if they do, they will remain still in their own land. Verse 11, as we read it. Faithful Jeremiah made the point to single out opportunity before the king of Judah, asking, verse 13, why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Jeremiah had this elaborate illustrative thing. I mean, I think about what Jeremiah did, and I'm sure that even some of his friends complained. What was he told to do? He was told to go and get ropes and wood in order to place upon any messenger that was sent to King Zedekiah. As a messenger would come from one of the area neighboring nations to King Zedekiah to visit him, Jeremiah would intercept them before they got to the king, and he would say, I need to put this yoke and these ropes over your neck and tie it on. And I'm sure they were really happy to have that done. And then Jeremiah said, now when you go back home to the king that you represent, You need to wear this wooden yoke and these ropes, tying it in place, and then you are to deliver this message from God to your king. And of course, Jeremiah told them what they should deliver by way of the word of God, and then Jeremiah made a particular effort, as we find out in verse 12, to speak to his own king, Zedekiah, and encourage him along the same way. So Jeremiah is asked of the Lord to physically make yokes and wear them as messengers of God to the nations at hand. Of course, the residents of Judah did not believe God's word sent through the faithful channels, and in fact, God's judgment did come upon them just exactly as the word of God said that it would. They didn't listen, and it did come. That is a biblical fact, historical fact of the Old Testament. They didn't listen, and judgment did come. In the New Testament scripture, we are warned of God that a time will come, and I believe indeed has come, in which many professing Christians will not endure or hold up sound doctrine, but will pile up in heaps teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. Such Christians are described as having itching ears, meaning ears longing to hear a positive message that makes a person feel good. 2 Timothy 4:3. Now, certainly God hasn't called me to preach a message that makes people feel bad, but we are committed to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Nonetheless, the people of old didn't listen, and judgment came exactly as God said it would. And of course, you and I are to be a people on the earth that do listen to the Lord, even though we are warned of the fact that one of the characteristics of the age in which we live is that an awful lot of professing Christians will not listen to the word of God. They have no particular hunger for it. They have no particular appetite for it. It's one of the characteristics of the age. Here's the next phrase that will help us work through these chapters. That phrase is carried away and awaiting the visitor. Carried away and awaiting the visitor. Look again at 21 and 22. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there they shall be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. Regardless of prophecies made saying that it would not happen, and there were plenty, verse 22 reveals what's going to happen in the will of God. They shall be carried to Babylon as a reference to temple artifacts that obviously would be an additional loss in addition to the people that had been taken as well. If after the naming of Babylon in this particular verse 22, there was a period and they shall be carried away, period, we would have a real problem. But it says they shall be carried to Babylon, comma, and there they shall be until the day that I visit them. So you understand, carried away and awaiting the visitor. There's more to the plan of God than judgment, Old Testament. God foresaw the disobedience of his people of old and the judgment that would come upon them. He says specifically that something that they cherish, namely those temple artifacts, will be carried away to Babylon. But then he says that there's more to it than that, that there's going to be a continuation of his plan, and that at some point in time in the future, there's going to be a visitation. The prophecy delivered by Jeremiah spoke of a coming day or a visit from God to his people. When God visited his people, there would be restoration. There would be a shift back to the things of God, the people of God. And with that in mind, you come to understand the unique way in which Jeremiah 27, 28 connect to the overriding thematic presentation of the Bible, creation to Christ, because that is where Christ is found in chapter 27 at verse 22. God's going to visit his people. He visited first advent, he shall visit second advent. Everything that God promised in verse 22 will come to pass in either the first advent or the second advent of Christ. And so here again is that theme, that heartbeat of the story, his story, developing in Jeremiah, even as we will once again pick it up and study this evening at 6 o'clock. But you understand by nature of verse 22, the little phrase carried away and awaiting the visitor, because the temple artifacts were carried away, and yet God says he's going to bring them back when he visits. That is a powerful reality, to be sure. The third phrase is broken yokes and promises too good to be true. And I've pushed a little bit to get to this one because this is really the heart, I believe, of this particular section of the Word of God. Broken yokes and promises too good to be true. Hananiah was, of course, a false prophet, chapter 28. He boldly proclaims a message that is most dynamic and is tremendously received. Why, everybody is listening in to Hananiah. His proclamation is positive, and it is filled with such wonderful promises that, why, everybody that hears it is just encouraged by it. He has a bondage-breaking theme and turns on the crowd by declaring that in just 2 short years, everything will be back to normal. Now think about this. Here is a false prophet saying that in 2 years, everything will be back to normal. Now I know you and I probably have a hard time figuring out how we might apply this to our own situation, but sometimes the Word of God is like in your face. But just look at what Hananiah said. Look at verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. Did he speak? Nope. Saying God said doesn't mean God said it. You better be more faithful than that. You better not just say, oh, I listen for somebody who says God said. Really? I'll tell you what that is. Stupid. You shouldn't believe something just because somebody said God said it. You ought to know for yourself either God said it or he didn't. In this case, here comes a guy and he says, thus speaketh the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Yahweh of hosts, the God, Elohim of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Well, we all know God could. But we all know from chapter 27 that God didn't. In fact, quite the contrary, God said to Jeremiah, I'm putting the yoke on them. I'm not taking it away. But here comes a guy that stands in a pulpit and with flair says, I'm a yoke breaker. If you've got bad, negative things in your life and in your ministry, I can break those bondages that are created of the devil and are holding you in suspense. I could be a charismatic preacher. I mean, I could. I don't want to be a charismatic preacher. I want to stick to the truth. But I'm just telling you, I could be. I got the womp and the stomp for it, believe me. So Hananiah comes along. He says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years, I will bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon." And all the old people are saying, "Oh, that'll be a wonderful thing. I couldn't believe it when they took away the Ark of the Covenant and they took away all this thing. I'm so glad to know they're going to come back." Yeah, well, old people can be wrong and cry for nothing. And they did. Verse 4, "And I will bring again into this place Jeconiah." Who's that? The last king. Now think about this. They had a king. They had a king. And here's a promise: we're going to bring again the last king. We have a president. But here's a guy who comes along and says, "We're going to bring back the old president." Now I know the word of God lacks relevance. You can't hardly think of any certain situation or scenario that would play out in our own day like this. Right? Oh, beloved. What a trip it is to open the Bible and to study and to see the things of God and the way that God has worked in the past and is working. And will work until he accomplishes what he will. Man, am I glad to be a child of the King. Wow, am I excited to be under his benevolent care. But here is a guy that is saying, "I will bring back to the place Jeconiah, the old king, the son of Jehoiakim, of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Yoke breaker, verse 2. Yoke breaker, verse 4. Yoke breaker, verse 11. I mean, this was the message. This was the big time message of Hananiah. Hananiah was the original yoke breaking minister. His whole ministry was packaged by telling people, "We will break the yokes of things that bind you." And man, was the crowd excited about that. Are you in debt? Break the yoke of financial bondage. That's the way they talk. It's the way it talks. Hananiah. He's a dude. And of course, when the people were challenged by Jeremiah to the truth, they just ignored him, wrote him off, shot to Hananiah. And when Hananiah was indeed ultimately confronted with the truth that Jeremiah was speaking, guess what Hananiah does? He shows up where Jeremiah is, and he puts on a show. Look at verse 10, 28:10. "Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it." Hananiah went right to Jeremiah and grabbed a hold of the physical yoke that God had said to Jeremiah wear, and Hananiah took it off and broke it and said, "Jeremiah, even you, I break the bondage that is in your life in the name of the Lord." Who is God's servant? Who was God's man? How does God work? Not in the TV way. Not in that entertaining womp and stomp put on a show way. Even Yirmiyahu, bless his heart, he had to have and endure the aspect of some guy like Hananiah, you know, in his face. I'll tell you, one of the characteristics of the false prophets of the Old Testament and the false teachers of the New Testament is they're bold, flamboyant, pushback against the truth. Remember that the preaching illustration of wearing a yoke came directly from God to Jeremiah 27:2. Hananiah's dramatic public display undid what God had demanded. Believe me when I tell you, Hananiah's got a real problem with God. And I also tell you that the people that were listening to Hananiah have a real problem with God. That brings us to our fourth phrase this morning: iron for wood and 1 year to live. Jeremiah retreats from the scene of Hananiah's crusade, and then he receives another word from the Lord directed towards the false prophet. Look at verse 11, 28:11. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet of Jeremiah went his way. What should the prophet do? What should the truth do in the face of blatant, overt, promoted, advertised media lies? What should you do? Walk away. Leave it to God. God does not need us to defend his word. Tell the truth, rest in it. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. God will approve his servants. God will establish who's right, who's wrong, who's up, who's down. Jeremiah went his way. Then, verse 12, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet. After that, Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yoke of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon." God said, "I did that. And they shall serve him. And I have given to him, Nebuchadnezzar, the beast of the field also." Then said prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt moot." Hebrew word, die, moot, "because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord." So Hananiah the prophet died in the same year, in the 7th month. God emphasizes in his new word to Jeremiah that, of course, he's the one that placed the yoke, and that the yoke wasn't like the wood around the neck, but was rather like iron, not broken by the hands of men. Secondly, since Hananiah is a prophetic liar, he will die within a year. And verse 17, of course, records the death of Hananiah, rather matter-of-factly. Just like, of course, if God's against you, who can be for you? Of course, he died. Because if God's against you, who can be for you? When you put this little sequence of chapters together, there are 4 things that are abundantly clear. Number 1, God has a plan and the power to make it happen. 2, God's true spokesmen will always be identified by their commitment to the word of God. 3, God judges severely those who misrepresent him. And 4, God has made promises which are to be the foundation of all our hopes and prayers. In the excellent little book that I've given away to a number of you called The Kind of Preaching That God Blesses, Stephen Lawson writes, "To an alarming degree, an increasing amount of preaching these days can only be described as slick shtick. By this I mean that form of communication in which the preacher has little to say, but tragically says it very well. This kind of nominal preaching caters to the listener by replacing exposition with entertainment. It substitutes the theology of God with the theatrics of men. It supplants sound doctrine with sound checks. Sound check. Are you still there? It's a sad exchange. The drama of redemption gives way to plain dramatics. Such negligible preaching has turned many a pulpit into a weekend stage for D-list actors who masquerade as preachers. That speaks to my heart strongly. I've met and ministered to many professing Christians in Western Michigan that do not share our regard for expositional ministry. What expositors do is not a great draw to folk around here. I'm learning to live with that. You should too. I cannot and will not shift away from seeking to rally people around the Holy Scriptures. For they alone, the Holy Scriptures, are able to make you wise unto salvation. But there's no sense in thinking that we're going to have great and popular days anytime soon. Although, by the grace of God, some of us have known both personally and collectively some popular days for gospel ministry. Highly commended in the pages of the New Testament is a local church family in Berea. They engage the preaching of Paul and Silas with their own search and study of the Scriptures. They were more than pleased to hear Paul and Silas, but satisfied only to know the truth for themselves as from God. It does make a phenomenal difference when you react to the truth as from God. That, of course, is my prayer for this particular ministry, First Baptist Church of Elto. Father, thank you for such a clear demonstration in your word of the great divide between the true and the false, between the prophet who brings the word of God and the prophet who makes up his own idea in the name of God. Thank you for a clear result. We are not left in Jeremiah 27:28 as we are left in our own day to wonder about how you will make it right. For indeed, Jeremiah continued to live and minister, and Hananiah was gone. And we're glad for that quick result. In our flesh, we might pray that there would be a quicker result concerning some of the false messages and false indications that are all around us. But we rest in your time and timing. We would rest in your truth. We would seek to identify ourselves with those saints over many generations that love you and love your word and seek to obey it. And Lord, knowing the weakness of our flesh, we indeed do pray, oh, help us, Lord. But may we associate with the continuing days of our study in Jeremiah this idea of joy in hearing and obeying the word of God. Thank you for the opportunity of this day so far. Bless your people this week. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.